So today, my dear brothers and sisters, we celebrate this feast of Corpus Christi, and I want to use it as an opportunity to set up the foundations for something that we as a diocese will be doing in July and August. We are going to be preaching in all of the parishes on John 6, which is the Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus speaks about the Eucharist. So I want to use this opportunity as to set up for July. So remember what I say today. I'll ask you again at the end of July what I said in June. I'm sure that my homilies are so riveting that you can remember the homilies that I did from 6 months ago. But hopefully you will keep this in mind. So my dear brothers and sisters, in order to understand fully the body and blood of Christ, there is something that there is a foundation that all of us need, because I'm sure a lot of you have heard this. A few years ago they did a Pew study of how many people actually believe, Catholics who come to church every Sunday, actually believe that the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ. And I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, it was 52%. That was 10 or 15 years ago. So now I think that, no, now I'm sure that that number, last number I heard even more recently, was probably 3 to 5 years ago, was 56% did not believe that the bread and the wine actually become the body and blood of Christ. Now, I am not going to convince you in one homily of the truth, but this homily is to give us the foundations we need to understand what it is to receive the Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. And the basis for our understanding as a Catholic Church in the real presence is exactly this idea that Exodus speaks about in the first reading, and that we hear about today. Because at the heart of the Eucharist is the word covenant. Now, I invite you, if you're a scholarly person, to take an opportunity to look through scripture and to see how many times the word covenant is used. You will find that it's used an inexhaustible amount of time. And I invite you to go, and now because of Google, which is good for something sometimes, you can truly do like deep dives into scripture and just look at the word covenant and what it means. Because my dear brothers and sisters, this word covenant gets to the heart of the Eucharist, which is relationship. So what is the foundation for understanding and believing the truth that the bread and the wine truly become the body and blood of Christ? Well, the foundation for that is the word relationship, is the word covenant. And as we see today in this first reading, Moses takes the opportunity to, or not takes the opportunity, he reads the law, and he gathers the 70 elders and the people of Israel, and he reads all the words of the Lord and the ordinances. And the people say, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's a big statement, but they make it. They're in a moment in which they are truly see God is leading them. And so they say, okay, we'll do everything that God has asked us. And then Moses enters into this covenant with the people. And so he sprinkles blood on them as a sign of this covenant. Now this is early in Exodus, and so what the people of Israel will learn throughout Exodus is that God is faithful, but they are not. In the sense of the covenant, and if you read about covenant in the Old Testament, you'll see so many beautiful examples, like the example of Abraham. When God tells Abraham to break the animal, to cut the animal in half, and then in the old times, that was how, in the time of Abraham, that was how you kept, you made a covenant, a contract, was that you cut an animal in half, and then each party walked between and said, if I don't keep my side of the deal, my side of the covenant, then what has happened to this animal may it also happen to me. That was the way they made contracts. Well, if you go back to the story of Abraham, God has Abraham cut the animal in half, but God doesn't allow Abraham to walk through the animal, to walk in the middle, which goes back to this idea of covenant, and also God saying, I'm going to be faithful, but you as a people will struggle to be faithful in this covenant. But we see in this book of Exodus that there is an external promise to ratify this covenant. So the sprinkling of the blood, it's not merely that the Israelites just have to say a prayer and they enter into the covenant, but there is an external sign of that. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, if we go into the gospel of today, we come into the New Testament and we come into the internal. And we have a similar thing as Jesus is saying, he says, and as they were eating, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a chalice, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And so now we see the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Testament, in which Christ says, This is my blood. This is the blood of the covenant. This is the blood of the relationship. And he says, take my body, eat my body, and eat and drink my blood. Why? So that we can receive him internally. And so what was external now becomes an internal covenant. In other words, now becomes an internal relationship. Now, what does this all have to do with the body and blood of Christ? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, as I said in the beginning of this homily, in order to appreciate the Eucharist, we must first appreciate relationship with God. And so, before we can appreciate the Eucharist, we must ask ourselves, do I understand my relationship with God? Do I live my relationship with God? What is our relationship with God? Our relationship is that we are sons and daughters of God. And that God allows us to receive his body and to eat his body and to drink his blood, so that relationship can be ratified, so that relationship can be cemented. Now, this will set us up for July, because we will also then speak about that, you know, it's not just nice language that God wants to have a relationship with us, but that relationship carries with it responsibilities, especially when it comes to receiving the body and blood of Christ in a state of grace. That's a separate, that we'll get to in July. But it's a very important aspect of celebrating this feast of the body and blood of Christ. But primarily and firstly, my dear brothers and sisters, God wants one thing from us, a relationship. And I think that as a society and as a people, we have lost that, which is partly why we have lost, and in some cases we have become very callous about the body and blood of Christ, is because we have lost that sense of what God truly wants from us. We have an amazing ability to overcomplicate things. We have amazing ability to ignore sometimes the obvious. God wants one thing with you, a relationship. A relationship based on love. A relationship that is meant to be life-changing. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, when we come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, and we say that word, amen, what we are saying is, Lord, it's true. I want to receive you. I want you to become part of me so that I may carry you to the world. And so by receiving the body and blood of Christ, my dear brothers and sisters, we are saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to be different than the world. Do we understand that? You see, many times we have become so callous and, it's just time for communion and we go. And many times without being in a state of grace, without having gone to the sacrament of confession, we've stayed away from the sacrament of confession. And we come and we receive the Lord, which is very serious. It's very serious. That's another homily, but it's very serious. Because my dear brothers and sisters, if we are saying to the Lord, Lord, I receive your body and blood so that you can become part of me, then as we go out of these doors, we better truly make present what we have received. Because otherwise, then what we do in here means nothing to out there. There's this beautiful quote in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's from paragraph 460, and I want to read it to you because it says it much better than I could. And the Church, in her wisdom, and in her many years, says a lot of things better than I could. It says everything better than I could. But in paragraph 460, the Catechism says, the Word became flesh to make us, the Word, that is, Jesus, God became man, Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature. For this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into a communion with the Word, and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a Son of God. For the Son of God became man, so that we might become a Son of God. By receiving the body and blood of Christ, we are saying, Lord, I want to live out in my life the sonship and daughtership that you have given me. And to live that out, my dear brothers and sisters, means that you and I are different. You see, the body and blood of Christ that we receive is not a happy pill is not a warm, fuzzy pill, is not a, oh, make me feel good, God, and so I feel good. But it is us taking on the responsibility of living out who we are. And my dear brothers and sisters, the world is dying to meet people who truly live their sonship and daughtership out in the world. You know, again, and I've said this many times, we ask ourselves, why is the world, and we kind of live this from, you know, a faraway place in which we say, oh, the world is going to heck, and we just kind of say, oh, those poor people, they just don't understand. Thank God I understand, but they don't understand. And we kind of just say, you know, we kind of just live it and say, oh man, I wish it would be different, but it's not going to be, and so there's nothing I can do. And my dear brothers and sisters, that is the problem with us as Catholics today. Is that we have relegated the suffering of the world to being everybody else's problem. And that's sad, and what a pity, and what a shame, and I wish it was different. You know, there is a wonderful old saying that I learned from my grandmother, but I mean it's older, much older than that. It's, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, we have good intentions. We wish it was different. My dear brothers and sisters, it's not about wishing it was different. It's about us making it different. It's about us living to what we have been called to, not living according to our own ideas. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, this is where our greatest sin of pride comes in. And what I mean by that is, you know, we think the world should live according to what we believe. My dear brothers and sisters, while your intellect is beautiful and wonderful, and God is doing many wonderful things with it, so please don't understand this as an insult, but it is truly an understanding of our place in the world. My dear brothers and sisters, what we think is not important. It's not important. We think we're important. But my dear brothers and sisters, we are called not to think of what we have to say is important, but we are called to think as God thinks, to see the world as God sees the world, which is with love, with mercy. But my dear brothers and sisters, God calls us to see it also with truth. We like it when God sees the world with love and mercy. We're good with that. It's another thing when we get to the truth, because then we as a country have become very subjective, in which truth is what I believe is true. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is dangerous, because we're not called to believe what we think. We're called to believe what God has called us to believe. And so today, as we come to receive the Lord in his body and blood, we are truly invited into a relationship of love, a relationship of mercy, but also we are called to a big responsibility to take that relationship to this world.